Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. And we've been looking here at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." In the last couple of weeks, we were looking at this issue of the exhortation that the Apostle Paul is writing here about, how this is a theme that goes through the scriptures and related to the idea that there's an edification and an exhortation process that goes on related to the members of the body of Christ. And as we continue on here, we see how Paul states that this issue of the exhortation, that this is coming, it says, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, and how it's the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to do these things. And the problem so often that individuals have is that they try to do things on their own, separate from what the scriptures actually say, and think that they can do things their own way. Now, this is goes, unfortunately, all the way through the scriptures and starts all the way back in the book of Genesis. And let's turn back to Genesis, and we're going to look here at chapter number 3. And we're going to look here at the issue of the fall of man that occurs. Now, you see how here in chapter 3 there's going to be the account of what happens with the serpent having this discussion with them. In chapter 2, you see how there's a very simple command that's given here. And we'll read verses 16 and 17. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So there's a simple command that is given to Adam about the fact that he is to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he's given this command. He understands exactly what it is that he is not to do. And now we're going to have here what's recorded for us in chapter number 3. It says, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruits of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." So we see how the whole issue starts with the questioning of what did God actually say? And once there's a reality of a lack of understanding of what God's word actually said, then an individual can be pulled away from those things. And that's really the goal of Satan. It's the goal of the world system, is to pull people farther and farther away from the truth of God's word and get people to not rely on what God actually says in his word. Now, when we look at things of what God's word says for us, God gives us the instructions on, you know, here's all the things that have been done for us. God gives us the issue of, okay, based on the doctrine that you have all laid out, here is how you should live your life. Here's what your future hope is going to be. All of these things laid out for us in the scriptures to clearly understand, and you see how people pull themselves farther and farther away from these things and end up trying to, instead of using God as the solution to things, that man tries to solve things on their own. We see how the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 talks about that God is the God of all comfort. And how many individuals try to find comfort from things outside of the Word of God rather than using God's Word, because that's how God is communicating to us today. That's why he gives us the information about how it is that we are to understand God's word when he says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That we're given the information of, that we are going to have to rightly divide the word, understanding that our doctrine for today can only come from the books of Romans through Philemon, what the Apostle Paul has written unto the Gentiles. And that if we try to pull information from other places and say that these are the things that we're going to have to try to apply to our lives, that it's going to just create chaos for us. It's going to create problems. And we have to have that understanding of relying on God to do these things. And we know that we have all of these blessings that the Word tells us, because we have put our trust in the gospel message for today. And the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how someone puts their trust in that and that alone. The moment they do that, they become saved. They are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise to have the guarantee of their salvation. Now, when we see Paul making this reference to the Lord Jesus Christ doing these things, and how it's the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to exhort us, let's turn over to John chapter number 1. Because we're just going to look at a couple of verses quickly to just kind of really reaffirm the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, that he is part of the Godhead. And we have to do this because there are, you know, individuals out there who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing that, they really are having a major impact on the things that are laid out in the scriptures. And here in John chapter number 1, we're going to read here the first three verses, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So we see how the issue of, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Identifying the fact that the Word, and when you go down to verse 14, you see how it clearly identifies the fact that it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So anyone who's trying to deny even who the Word is, John makes it clear that the Word is God, and the Word was made flesh. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's being identified here as the Word. Now let's turn over to 1 John. We'll go to 1 John chapter number 5. And we're going to see here a passage that identifies all three individuals who make up the Godhead here. And we're going to read here verses 7 and 8 of 1 John chapter number 5. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." So we have verse 7, which is the main thing of what I wanted to focus on, of the fact that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, those three are the Godhead, and those three are one. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, who's part of the Godhead, is going to be the one that's going to be dealing with us, that's going to be exhorting us, that's going to be, as we're going to see, some of the things that the Apostle Paul writes about what happens for the members of the body of Christ, that all of these things that he writes are all accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go over to Philippians chapter number 4. And we're going to see here in the book of Philippians, where Paul, as he's closing out this epistle to them, is going to identify some of these things that help show them of where it is that their life is should be going. You see how, as you read through the whole epistle, that the issues of joy keep getting brought up over and over again. And we're going to look here in chapter number 4. We're going to read here verses 6 and 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Paul is closing out here and starts to talk about the prayer life of individuals, talking about, he says, "Be careful for nothing." So that word careful would be talking about an individual not having anxiety, not having any worries about things. And the reason why they're not to have these things, it says, but in everything. So that means no matter what it is, and it, you know, stressing that because, you know, the unfortunate thing that comes up is that, you know, some would say that the only things you're supposed to pray about are spiritual things. Well, when Paul says everything, he doesn't say in every spiritual thing. He says in everything, which means in everything. So no matter what it is that's going on, there's to be prayer, there's to be supplication, these things accompanied with thanksgiving. And it says, let your requests be made known unto God. So in all these things that are going on, you know, whether it's the good things going on in your life, whether it's the bad things going on in your life, everything is turned over to God in prayer, with the result that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give the peace that an individual needs to be able to deal with whatever the situation actually is. And we see how, as Paul continues on in this chapter, we're going to skip down here to verse number 12. It says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, verse 13 is pulled out of the context a lot of times to say, well, you know, I can just do anything in my life through Christ. You know, and you see this verse, you know, on bumper stickers, on t-shirts, all these different things where people are pulling it out and saying that this is, you know, this is kind of their life verse. Think, well, when you see how Paul's talking about this, it's a thing of that in all these situations, to be abased, which means, you know, that there's things aren't going well, to abound, things are going well, to be full, you know, things are going well, to be hungry, things weren't going so well, abound, things are going well, suffering need, things aren't going well. So no matter what the situation is, he's getting through these things because it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is giving him that strength to be able to get through it. That's why he says, and we skip down now to verse number 19, when it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the things that we need to be able to get through these things, to have the strength to get through them, all of that is supplied by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth. Because what we need has been given to us. And what we need, the things that have been supplied to us, that's in relationship to the fact that we have a completed Word of God that's been given to us. Let's go over to Colossians chapter number 1. Just turn one page, probably over in your Bible here. And we're going to pick up here in Colossians 1 verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we see how Paul starts that issue of the fact that it's been given unto him to fulfill or complete the Word of God. We have a completed Word of God. When Paul wrote 2 Timothy, which was the last epistle that he wrote, we have a completed Word of God. And so we have all the information that we need to be able to deal with any situation that comes up. And we know that we have that because Paul's writing here saying he completed the Word. We know that it's the Word, which when you look in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God which is going to produce faith in the individual. And faith is needed to please God, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Word of God gives us the information that we need to be able to say, here's what we're supposed to do, here's what we're not supposed to do, here's the things that are going to build us up, here's the things that are going to be encouraging to us to do the right thing according to what God has laid out. We know that the definition of what is considered to be sin has changed. It's no longer that transgression of the law, because that's what was taken care of at the cross, because that's what separated us from God, led to the things of the second death. We know that we've been taken, made free from that. But we see how Paul in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, when he says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So when we see Paul make statements of things of, be angry and sin not, or talking about, you know, when he talks about these issues of an individual committing a sin, he's talking about the things out that are the whatsoever is not of faith, because it's impossible for us to do the things that are of the law, because like we said, we are made free from the law. We can't do the things that are part of something that's already been removed from who we are. And, you know, we can do things that are contrary to what God would have us to do. And that's where the things that are the whatsoever is not of faith. That's where a member of the body of Christ can have the problems today that come up in their life, and why there needs to be some of this building up of the doctrine, the encouragement to make sure that individuals are staying faithful to what is written in the Word of God. And you know, we see so many times individuals get pulled away from what God's Word actually says, because, you know, they start thinking that they have this, you know, kind of perfect understanding in their eyes, and they just start, you know, in a way kind of making up what they think things are saying, rather than letting the Word say what it says, applying it to their life, and allowing the Word to actually have the true impact that it's supposed to have. Now we're going to continue related to some of these things related to the Lord Jesus Christ next week. Now as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of some of our previous messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything you see on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.